Thank you for standing by, and welcome to the Pivotal Systems 2019 half-year results presentation. All participants are in a listen-only mode. There will be a presentation followed by a question-and-answer session. If you wish to ask a question, you will need to press the star key followed by the number one on your telephone keypad. I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. John Hoffman, Chairman and CEO. Please go ahead.
Good morning. It's a pleasure to speak with everyone regarding our first half 2019 results. As per our normal process, we're providing commentary around our recent first half 2019 release, which was dated 30 August 2019. For some investors that have our investor deck on hand, I'll try to guide you through the slides, as will Tim. Turning initially to slide three, I remind investors that Pivotal Systems is a leading provider of innovative gas flow control solutions, which are integral in the production of semiconductor devices or semiconductors. Our business is positioned within a multi-billion-dollar industry, and our core product offering of mass flow controllers, or MFCs, is forecast to grow well above $1 billion in coming years. Our financial summary is presented, which Tim Welch, Pivotal CFO, will guide you through in more detail. I'm able to report that despite industry headwinds, Pivotal was able to meet its first half 2019 revenue guidance. Moving to slide four, our global footprint highlights Pivotal's multi-territory manufacturing and sales support presence across three continents. As Tim will discuss in more detail later, Pivotal will discontinue our relationship with the Comparts Korea factory in October 2019, and we're currently exploring alternative solutions, including using our pre-certified Fremont facility in the meantime. Moving now to slide five, let's have a quick review of some of the first half highlights. The first half of 2019 represented a period of significant accomplishments for both our products and our relationships with key customers. Some of the significant highlights: Pivotal Systems actually approved preferred supplier status for both the standard product GFC as well as the newly introduced high-flow GFC at a leading U.S.-based original equipment manufacturer. This represents the shortest period for qualification of one of our new products, and the fact that it was with one of the leading equipment companies is very significant for us strategically. We also received record bookings for new orders for both the standard GFC and the high-flow GFC at a leading Chinese device manufacturer. This order covered etch, deposition, and even furnace technologies across all major OEM platforms for both etch and deposition. This was a very strategic breakthrough for the company, and I think points favorably to our established Chinese presence in the last 12 months. We also achieved qualification in multiple repeat orders for our high-temperature GFC with a leading Japanese equipment company. We also successfully qualified our standard GFC at a leading European foundry. We successfully qualified and obtained multi-repeat orders at a leading Japanese logic IDM. We successfully qualified and received multiple repeat orders for both deposition and etch at a leading Taiwanese IDM. We successfully shipped our second flow ratio controller to a leading Korean IDM, which is material because that new product is a new and expanding market for the company, and this is a relatively new product that's gaining traction. In the area of products, the standard low-flow GFC, commonly used for etch application, continues to gain market share at leading device manufacturers now in Europe, Taiwan, Japan, and China. The additional resources we have brought into play in each of these regions are making a material impact in our ability to sell our leading-edge technology. At the same time, the high-flow GFC was qualified at both a leading Taiwanese and a leading Korean IDM. As discussed previously, the high-flow GFC has been qualified by a leading U.S.-based OEM. This OEM has been shipping the standard GFC on its leading deposition tools, and the high-flow qualification enables Pivotal to compete for 100% of this equipment company's flow control business. In July, we were notified that we had also been promoted to a preferred supplier status by this equipment company. We also introduced the remote electronics for high-temperature GFC during the first half of 2019. This GFC was developed in partnership with a leading Japanese equipment company in order to function in a heated gas box at approximately 65 degrees centigrade. This is about 15 degrees to 20 degrees higher than the gas boxes we're operating in today. We believe that as the semiconductor industry continues to migrate to more advanced technology nodes, there will be new materials required. And these new materials will require very low vapor pressure gases. These low vapor pressure gases in turn need to be heated in order to provide the prerequisite gas flows required in advanced wafer processing. Hence, the remote GFC that can handle high temperature gases will become required technology in future advanced wafer processing fabs. The recently introduced flow ratio controller, or FRC, continues its excellent performance in production at a leading Korean IDM. And as I mentioned earlier, we have shipped our second product to this customer. As a reminder, as gases leave the pivotal gas flow controllers in a process tool gas box, the gas flows are often mixed and then split by a flow ratio controller to provide equal gas concentrations in various zones inside the production chamber. Without a very fast and accurate flow ratio controller, all of the advantages of the GFC may be compromised. In other words, if the GFCs are turning on in 50 milliseconds, and we're able to be a 0.5% accurate, if they're flowing into a flow ratio controller that's turning on and off in 3 seconds and ultimately is maybe 2% accurate, you can see that the customer has compromised some of that speed and precision. So the FRC is very strategic in speeding up and making the entire process more robust. Our OEM and IDM customers require both speed and precision in the future, and this will become even more important. Finally, we've taken our smart stick architecture on the road, as people witnessed during our live demonstrations we held in Sydney concurrent with our AGM in May. We have now built out a live demo center using smart stick in our Fremont headquarters. We plan to roll out similar setups to Japan, Taiwan, and Korea in the future. This month, our live demo team has been running head-to-head live demos in China, with a mobile smart stick setup that we can take to individual device manufacturing factories. These customers have warmly received seeing both our advanced technology, but also enjoy the head-to-head runoffs with our leading competitors. Smart stick is important because it demonstrates the possibilities and addresses questions real-time in person. In other words, it enables our customers to witness our value with their own eyes in their own location. Overall, Pivotal System maintained its commitment to a pipeline of new products. As our history demonstrates, we strive to maintain the technology leadership we have achieved in the flow control markets by being the go-to technology partner for both leading device manufacturers as well as leading equipment companies. We believe that as the semiconductor industry continues to advance to smaller and smaller geometries, the superior performance of our products will become even more compelling. Turning to slide 6 in the investor deck, if you have it, this summarizes the level of customer activities in a graphical form. Investors should note that Pivotal delivered customer growth of 17% in the first half of 2019 versus a prior period of 9.7% growth in 2018, while repeat customer growth grew by 81% in the first half of 2019 versus prior period. Our revenue mix of customers was 73% of OEMs or equipment companies, and 27% IDM in the first half, with greater than 85% of the sales in the etch process tool market. We expect the ratio between etch and deposition to begin to even out in coming years. Turning to slide 7, which examines industry dynamics in a bit more detail. As I mentioned back on our July 24th call, the industry slowdown has been both longer and deeper than we had originally imagined. As I mentioned on the call, the latest reports out of SEMI, which is the global reporting agency and governance body for our industry, they reported during SEMICON West that they thought that perhaps we were, quote, at the bottom of the cycle. That said, it should also be noted at that same event, they indicated that CapEx spending in Korea could be down as much as 48% in 2019 versus 2018. This level of spending drop in Pivotal's key end market has made our priority to grow our market share in new regions even more important and gives additional color to the challenges we faced in the reported period. Recent insights on the second half of 2019 indicate some strengthening in the NAND flash portion of the memory market. However, the DRAM market is seemingly recovering at a slower pace. The semi-global update in late July forecasted South Korean CapEx rebounding 28% in 2020. We are beginning to see early signs that CapEx spending in this region is picking up in the latter portions of the second half of 2019. At this time, I'll pass it over to Tim Welch to discuss operations and finance.
Thanks, John. Good morning. I'll be reporting on our first half financial performance. For profit and loss, we'll be comparing against the first half of 2018. For the balance sheet, we'll be comparing June of 2019 versus December of 2018 balances. All numbers are in U.S. dollars. Further details can be found in our Appendix 4D, which was lodged with the ASX today. On slide 9, we summarize the key financial metrics for the first half. As previously reported, our revenue for the first half of 2019 was $8 million and was in the range of our guidance. Revenue was down 28% from the same period last year due to an industry-wide slowdown. Also worth noting is that our mix of revenue to OEM customers grew from 62% in the first half of 2018 to 73% in the first half of this year. This had an adverse impact on our gross margin, as our OEM business tends to be lower margin. Our order backlog was $5.8 million at the close of the half. In the first half of 2019, we continued to move more of our manufacturing build to Asia. This has enabled us to drop ship product from Korea directly to customers in Asia, saving transit time and shipping-related costs. Also, during the quarter, we passed our annual recertification of the ISO 9001:2015. Operating expenses for the half decreased from $5.6 million to $5.3 million. The expense for the first half of last year included over $700K of IPO-related expenses. So if we back that out, operating expenses actually grew by $400K, reflecting our increased expenses related to our headcount growth. Our headcount grew from 35 to 46 people. So a portion of that headcount growth is in expense, and a portion is up in cost of goods sold. Turning to slide 10, which provides further insight into the drivers behind the decline in GPM during the first half, we see our gross profit margin decrease from $4.2 million in the first half of 2018 to about $200K in the first half of 2019. So what's going on there? Our margin decreased based on a number of factors, including product mix, increased expensing of tariffs, and other non-recurring cost of goods sold items. Last year, we capitalized a portion of the duty we incurred based on our ability to recover this expense under duty drawback. This year, we have taken a more conservative approach and will defer the future benefit until it is realized. Other non-recurring cost of goods sold expense include inventory adjustments and increased reserves for inventory and warranty. If you adjust for the non-recurring events, our pro forma GPM would have been about 21%. That 21% does not include any impact of the OEM increase. Slide 11. I've mostly covered this in the previous slide, but as I mentioned, our employee headcount grew from 35 to 46 full-time employees, and the net loss for the first half of 2019 was $5.1 million. Moving now to the balance sheet on slide 12. Cash on hand was $9.7 million at June 30th, 2019, and the company was debt-free. As announced on the ASX yesterday, the company has secured a new $10 million financing facility, which I will address in greater detail shortly. Cash outflow from operations was $5.7 million for the half, which was significantly higher than the prior period. And this was primarily due to lower receipts from customers, which was related to lower shipments and the shipment skew at the end of the second quarter of this year. Accounts receivable for June 2019 was $6.7 million. The company continues to invest in new product innovation, with capitalized development costs up 10% versus the prior period to $1.9 million. Turning to slide 13 on cash flows, Cash outflow from operation was 5.7 for the half year, which is significantly higher than the prior period due to the timing effects associated with shipments, noting we recorded $8 million in revenue versus 5.2 in cash receipts. As mentioned, we closed the half with 9.7 in cash, and a post-balance date established a new $10 million facility with Bridge Bank. Turning to slide 14, which calls out two recent company developments. The first is that Pivotal advises that we'll be ending its manufacturing agreement with between Pivotal and Compart Systems Korea factory in October of 2019. Pivotal will continue to engage Compart China under its current contract, and Compart will remain a qualified supplier for Pivotal Systems. Under the new arrangement, Pivotal will continue its contracted facility at Compart China and utilize its own facility in Korea and Fremont to replace the product customization steps currently performed at Compart Korea, and continue to prudently monitor its production and operating expense across its manufacturing operation to facilitate the improvement of gross margins over time while maintaining its existing stringent intellectual property and manufacturing protocols. Most importantly, Pivotal does not expect this new manufacturing arrangement to impact its product deliveries or lead times to its customer. In the near term, there is sufficient capacity in both Compart China and Pivotal Fremont to meet expected customer demand. Pivotal is also assessing potential contract manufacturing partnerships in Asia for product customization to meet expected future volumes. To shore up our balance sheet, on August 27th, the company closed a $10 million business financing with Bridge Bank. The new facility is comprised of two components: a $7 million working capital revolving line of credit that's receivables-based primarily, and a $3 million term loan. The amount of the credit available under the $7 million revolving credit is based upon the company's balances and composition of eligible customer receivables. The $3 million term loan provides funds for working capital and other corporate purposes for 3 years. The term loan is payable in three equal monthly installments. At this time, I will hand it back to John.
The term loan is payable in 36 equal monthly. Yes. Okay. Thanks, Tim. Turning to our group summary on slide 16 and 17 in the and on our outlook for 2019. In summary, the first half of 2019 represents a continuation of a reduced semi-capex spending that was especially difficult in Korea, where, as I've mentioned, analysts have pointed out a 48% reduced capex spend from the prior year. Pivotal has worked hard to expand both the product portfolio as well as the geographic diversity of our sales. Our penetrations into China, Japan, Europe, and repeat business in Taiwan indicate that we continue to make strides in this. We believe it's very, very important to move our dependency around the Korean memory business into a more diverse portfolio as represented by the foundries and operations in China as an example. Once again, we continue to execute our growth strategy, which is to take market share in the markets we serve and to expand our served available market, while also developing a recurring revenue streams with service and repairs in the markets we currently compete in. As I mentioned in July, there's no question that the fundamentals underpinning the IC industry continue to be strong and growing. Pivotal Systems remains absolutely focused on our customers and providing them with the advanced technology they require today and in the future. Our market share gains in the first half of 2019 indicate we're making progress to that goal. The company expects the second half of 2019 revenues to be sequentially stronger than the first half. We see positive signs that the industry is beginning to recover, but the exact timing is still to be determined. As a note, Tim and I will both be in Australia the week of September 16th. We'll be spending time in both Sydney and Melbourne, and we look forward to meeting with people as appropriate. At this time, we'd both be happy to entertain any questions you might have.
Thank you. If you wish to ask a question, please press star 1 on your phone and wait for your name to be announced. If you wish to cancel your request, please press star then 2. If you are using a speakerphone, please pick up the handset to ask your question. The first question today comes from Brendan Kelly from Moelis. Please go ahead.
Hi, John. Hi, Tim. Thanks for the update. A couple of questions from me today. Firstly, just on the cessation of the manufacturing in Korea, can you please just give us a bit of an update around the reasons for that?
Thanks, Brendan. I think when we worked with Compart to establish that business there, there were a number of assumptions made. And in a downturn, those assumptions sometimes can change. And from the Pivotal standpoint, we believe that it was time to look at a different opportunity. And I think Compart wanted to potentially move that factory to a different geographic region. As everybody strives to go further and further with low cost. So it probably was an agreement where we both decided that it was time to look in different directions. That is not to say that we would not consider working with Compart on transformation in the future. That's actually, all options are open at this point. But as Tim reminded me in a meeting earlier this week, that transformation step is actually 5% of our cost structure in manufacturing. It's important because that's where a lot of our intellectual property is loaded. So we are very, very cautious on that. And so I think all of those factors together, we felt it was safer that we pull that back into Fremont, and the Fremont factory is 100% certified by all of our customers, and we'll continue to keep all options open.
Cool. And are there any kind of one-off costs associated with that, and also how would that impact the gross margins going forward?
So we don't believe there's any one-off costs on that, although you can see our inventory is slightly up. We've taken precautions to make sure we've got the second half product ready or in the pipeline. We're in the midst of exploring the gross margin discussion. As Tim indicated, we're working very hard to move our gross margins up. We do have a legal entity in Korea and an office there with some capability. So we're exploring potential options to do some of that transformation in Korea. And I'll get back to you with further details as this matures. It's fluid at this time, but the end game is we can certainly ship everything on time to lead time.
Okay. Thanks, John. And then just lastly for me, just in terms of the sequential improvement you're seeing in the second half, can you give us a sense for how much of that's come from increased customer activity versus market share wins?
Okay. I'll give it a shot. I think the difficulty we face as we do this forecast is it's just the wide range on the opportunities and exact timing as to when these companies take deliveries. In Korea, that's a familiar story to Pivotal investors, as we all recall the second half of 2018 when this started, right? We saw slowed deliveries. Factories had already been built, the shelves were up, and they were waiting to take delivery of tools. That same scenario now is still true in Korea. And at the same time, though, there's a new twist to this, which is China. We've done a reasonably good job penetrating China in the last 9 months, as evidenced by that very strategic sale we discussed. The difficulty in China is a little different. There, you've got trade friction with the U.S., and that seems to be, let's say, highly dynamic. And part of what we're seeing is the funding for many of the factories in China is centrally controlled. So while the factories are built, the shelves are up, some of them have a pilot line production in and they're waiting to take volume tools, the question is when will they get their final funding? And it's different in every factory. So for us, we see a great opportunity in the second half. We're very cautious in terms of our forecast and, of course, our costs because we want to actually make sure we start to get ahead of it and improve our margins. So I hope to be able to give a little better ideas when I'm there in September. But right now, I'd say that it's there's just so many things happening, quite dynamic. It's hard.
Yeah, understood. Thanks for that, John.
Welcome.
Thank you. Once again, to ask a question, please press *1 on your phone. The next question comes from Darren Vincent from Shore & Partners. Please go ahead.
Good morning, John. Good morning, Tim. First question, I just want to try and get a bit of colour around that net operating cash flow burn. You called out the difference between revenue and cash receipts. Just want to understand, firstly, how quickly do you expect to collect the cash on the sales that you recorded in the first half 19? And then how would payments to suppliers offset the benefit that we'd see to the burn, so that we can sort of try and get a feel for, had you collected all the cash quicker, what the burn may have been?
Yeah, so I mean, you can see by the accounts receivable growth that a significant portion of the first half shipments ended up in accounts receivable. So our typical payment terms with our customers are around, on average, probably net 45, which is probably similar to what we have with our payables. But obviously, our collection from our customers is higher than the cost of what we have to pay our vendors. So there's a net improvement on that. But, we expect the vast majority of the accounts receivable to be collected in, first couple months after the end of the quarter. And then we have a big slug of payments that we've gone through. But from a going forward perspective, we don't expect this kind of really kind of skewed towards the end and the large AR growth. So I doubt we'll see that at come the end of the second half.
And, if I could just add on. Tim is working hard with our sales team around linearity of shipments here in the second half. As you know, in our backlog, we still have, 5.8 million, and a portion of that is that large order we had from a leading equipment company last year, which they have been taking that on time and on schedule, and we're actually working with them to kind of level load deliveries in the second half. Now, that comes back to Brendan's question around what does that second half look like. All of them will be shipped, but it would be much better for Pivotal and the way we manage our business if we could do it over a more linear period, so to speak. So we're working on that, and we're also trying to work in partnership with our customers.
Okay. All right. I also noted in the gross margin explanation, there was a minus 3% on the gross margin due to what you called strategic market share discount. Can you just talk to that and
yep.
whether that's an ongoing
yep.
Feature that we'll expect to see?
No, I'm not sure it's a feature, but what we looked at here in the second half of the first half is an opportunity came to us in China where we could take 100% market share on Dep and Etch in a brand new factory in China. And so that was viewed as very, very strategic because, generally speaking, we're on tool set A or tool set B, technology A or technology B, and then it takes quite a bit of time for us to migrate onto the next technology, whether it's Dep or Etch, depending where we start, or whether it's OEM A, B, or C. This one was a chance, and our sales VP for China came to the table with it and said, look, we're going to get on all these tools on the initial buys for this fab, which means now we're going to be driving very, very large market shares here going forward as this fab fills up. And so for us, it was a very strategic penetration on multiple platforms, multiple technologies in a brand new, very high growth region. So in the history of Pivotal, this is the first time we've done that. So we, while it is a big win, at the same time, it's not something we think we need to repeat. And I hope that helps.
And we included that as part of our one-time adjustment.
Correct.
In our bridge to the 21%.
Okay, so when you say you won't have to repeat it, does that mean as that fab rolls out further equipment or further lines, you won't be repeating that sort of discount? Or does it mean you won't repeat it in other fabs?
I think it shouldn't be necessary to do in other fabs in China. At the same time, we have, let's just say list pricing and we have discounted pricing. Every deal we do has some degree of discounting on it. This one was just well above what we're normally used to doing. We don't believe we'll have to repeat that level of discounting again, but as I've said many times, history is not always a forecast of the future. We're working really hard to attack that region, which we all know is absolutely strategic in semiconductor, and this was a major catalyst to launch us forward as a company there.
Can we think of it,
It turns out that our SmartStick Live demo team is actually in China. That's where we're spending a lot of time, and we're finding a very appreciative audience there to see advanced technology and actually get to learn how to use it more effectively, which is all part of this process to, I think, accelerate the adoption curve of our technology.
Can we think of it as opportunistic on the part of your client trying to take advantage of the depressed market?
No, I think it's more around this is a new factory that's starting up. Most of the folks there are coming from Taiwan experience, and they recognize the strategic importance of trying to get the best possible technology. And I think it's also important for them that they're able to get the training and capabilities we provide. So they certainly understood that having 100% Pivotal in a factory is very, very important and critical. But I would go back to my, decades at Applied Materials. I can't think of a single factory that's ever come up where Applied Materials got 100% of the etch and 100% of the deposition. Mm-hmm. These opportunities, they show up so far once in my career, and so we decided that it was worth it.
Okay, great.
Yep,
that's good. Just one more question from me. So you stated that you're committed to your pipeline of new products. I think what you've delivered over the period since you've been listed, you've probably exceeded any expectations I had or the market probably had. Does the pipeline that you've now got support similar growth? And secondly, are there products in there that push further into non-memory opportunities?
First off, thank you. I think Joe Monkowski will be very pleased to hear what you've said, because I think we have exceeded, let's say, market expectations. And really, I think of it from our customers. We've had customers, especially the leading equipment companies, actually begin to do, and it's funny, this in the next 6 weeks, we'll have executive technical reviews with every strategic equipment company and the top five device manufacturers around the world. So Joe and his team are going to be all around the world talking to the people that are driving technology in these factories and on the equipment. And that's critical, because Pivotal has gained the reputation now of being the leader of continuous innovation in an industry driven by innovation, which was one of our strategic goals when we started this. So in our pipeline, we have right now four major programs going with the equipment companies, and those are generally derivatives of products that we've actually already launched, although two of them are special, and I'm not at any in any way able to divulge that right now, because they're both under NDA, but they're going to be material, obviously, in the future. I think that really the DNA of the company is the great engineering team that, Tim and I have working with us, and that's going to continue to be a trend, I think, in the future. There's really no stopping these folks once they understand what the market requires.
Okay. And just on the second question, is there non-memory type products in there?
Yes. And so if you recall in some of the highlights, for example, the foundry in Europe that we discussed, that is not a memory factory.
Yep.
The two factories in Taiwan are foundries or logic factories. The factory in China is logic. So you can see we've our product sets are very satisfactory in both memory as well as logic or application-specific devices. What we've talked about in the past is the qualification cycles for foundries are longer and a little bit more complicated than memory. And as I would remind folks, if you're a company like TSMC, and I'm only saying it because it's a well-known company, they'll have you know, hundreds of different products going down their production lines. Whereas if you're a memory fab, a leading one, maybe Hynix or Samsung, you might have four or five memory products going down that line. And most importantly, the qualification process there is internal to Samsung or Hynix because they're using them in their own products. TSMC has to not only qualify the device on their production line to meet yield and throughput, they got to also make sure that companies like an Apple, et cetera, will accept those products. So the timing is just elongated. The good news is, as you can see from some of the wins in the first half, Pivotal's been at this for a number of years. So it's not like we've just said, oh, we need to be more than a memory company. We've decided quite some time ago we want to be more than a memory company. And one of the charts in the investor deck that you'll see is the total number of companies that have qualified our technology is growing, right? The acceleration there continues to grow, which was one of my comments. So you're spot on, Darren. We agree. We have to diversify not only out of the memory product set, but also out of this geographic, let's say, you know, the leading edge for Pivotal, which has in the past been in Korea.
Okay. Actually, I might ask one more question. I just want to push my luck. Yep. All right, and and ask you about guidance. You mentioned what Semi has said about bottom of cycle, NAND, DRAM, all those aspects, and you also said that you're beginning to see some second half pickup. Just want to know, when you're seeing some second half pickup, is that more than just what Semi are saying, but is that the indications you're getting back from your clients in terms of what they're thinking about CapEx over the second half and further out?
So it's actually a good question. I just to review kind of the process Pivotal uses, things like Semi or VLSI Research and other industry reporting agencies, we certainly pay attention to that. I certainly pay attention to all the releases that by companies like Applied Materials, Lam Research, Tokyo Electron, ASML for lithography, et cetera. And then I obviously I'm looking at what I hear from the device manufacturers. When we all of those, I would just call those macro patterns that have to be looked at. And then, of course, I got to look at what's happening between the U.S. and China, how that's affecting relations across Asia. For example,
and to build plans for the equipment manufacturers.
So for example, right now there's a new wrinkle that we're seeing, which is actually interesting to Pivotal, where there's an ongoing battle going between Japan and South Korea over trade and. There's been some activity by Japan to limit certain gases being exported to Korea. That causes all sorts of gyrations, but it basically allows Pivotal to get even closer to some of our Korean suppliers, as an example. So what we do is we do a full bottoms up, which is by account around the world. We have a representative in, let's say, Samsung, Hynix, UMC, Winbond, TSMC in Taiwan, companies in the U.S. like Micron, TI, Intel, and then, of course, in Japan, Toshiba and others. We do a full bottoms up, so we're meeting with those customers, understanding what their CapEx plan is going to be, when will they install tools, when will we need trained technical resources there to assist them. And behind that, there's the trades, electricians, plumbers, et cetera. So it's something where it's not like people just turn on a tool. It's a lot bigger than that. At the same time, we have routine forecasts now from the U.S. equipment companies. We're getting an abbreviated forecast out of our Japanese equipment company. So we do a tops-down, bottoms-up analysis. Now, what makes it more difficult is the things I kind of alluded to earlier, which is will those Chinese fabs actually get funded? And that's the same question. It doesn't matter if you're Pivotal Systems or you're Applied Materials or Lam Research. We all have those questions, and we all have our forecast. And then at the same time, you have to go back and say, look, we know what's going on in the memory cycle. I've indicated, and I'm probably not the only one saying that it appears that the NAND business is coming back slightly faster and DRAM is not. It's a little bit delayed. Well, what does that mean in terms of those factories? And you know there's a number of large factories already built in Korea that are operating at very low capacity. Well, what does that mean for them to take tools? So we're in the middle of that, right? We've got – it's the triangle, the equipment guys, the IDMs, and then this global trade situation. And so for us, I'd suggest that the opportunities are fantastic. The question of timing is our biggest question. And as I learn more and as I gain more and as we get closer into the second half, I'll have much better information as opposed to speculation.
So when this is the last question. When you look across that bottom up analysis that you're doing, is it is there broad increases coming through in what you can see in CapEx, or are you just seeing like early graph, you know, green shoots from a couple of specific accounts?
No, I think if you look at the spending year over year in the CapEx cycle, really the area that's been most depressed has been Korea, right? The memory guys have actually really slowed down their spending. Unfortunately, that happened to be the lion's share of Pivotal's market in past years. So it hurt us there, especially in the first half. And I think the sales team did a pretty commendable job going out to get that business in other places. The thing to remember is these factories don't come on in small bits. To bring in 40,000 wafer starts of production equipment is, it's going to take a lot of tools, probably, you know, 60 or 70 etch tools from various suppliers, same number of deposition tools, steppers, furnaces, et cetera. So what we're seeing is, or what we're understanding is that a couple of new phases may be able to be turned on in the second half beyond what we had initially thought. And we're not certain of that yet because we're always suspect of just say major spends until actually they actually start sending in orders to the equipment companies.
Okay, fantastic. Thanks for answering
that
question. Yeah, it was fantastic. Thank you.
No, you're welcome. Thank you.
Thank you. Once again, to ask a question, please press star 1 on your phone. We'll pause for a moment for parties to enter the queue. At this time, we're showing no further questions. That does conclude our conference today. Thank you for your participation. You may now disconnect your lines.